Morning, ladies. We are all here again, and it's nice to be here. We have several ladies here in the room with us, as well as meeting with you online. One announcement this morning is just to let you know that we will be streaming again next week, and Jackie Southwick will be teaching next week. Ladies, we are living in very uncertain times. It is as if a type of bomb has gone off, one that is affecting the whole world. There are no huge explosions or homes and people being destroyed by bombs or missiles, but there is great sickness and loss of life. Even here in our country, there are places that have essentially shut down. In some cities, businesses have been closed, people are required to remain at home, and hospitals are overwhelmed with patients. So we wonder, is all of this going to come to us here in Lincoln? Who would have thought last Christmas that we would be seriously encouraged to wear masks and gloves while grocery shopping, and to be no closer than 6 feet from the person closest to us? A lot of uncertainty, such as we've had in the last few months, causes thoughts of confusion, frustration, fear, and uncertainty. Jim Berg, the author of God is More Than Enough, has a term for these kinds of thoughts. He calls it the noise in our souls. As believers, we can experience this kind of noise in our lives. Noise in the soul consists of thoughts that are not within the will of God for us. If we are going to quiet this noise in our souls, we will have to examine our thoughts. Most people can immediately tell you how they feel about something, but they are usually not very aware of their thoughts. If we are going to quiet the noise in our souls, we will have to pay attention to our thinking, not our feelings. Then we need to evaluate those thoughts in light of God's Word. Where our thoughts are wrong, we must repent of them and replace them with thoughts that honor God. So we need to know what the kinds of thoughts that are wrong, what they look like, and face them biblically. Back in February, we considered examples of these types of thoughts in Levon's lesson. We will do a little review of these thoughts to recall how we can be distracted from thoughts that honor God. First, is there noise or sounds of anxiety and fear in your soul? Anxious thoughts are thoughts of worry, such as, what if this happens, or what if that happens? Second, are there thoughts of discouragement and despair in your mind? These are probably thoughts of hopelessness or thoughts of defeat. Third, are there thoughts of anger and frustration in your soul? Anger is usually fueled by frustration, not getting your way, being hurt, or feeling fearful. Next, are there thoughts of bitterness and hatred in your mind? These are often thoughts of injustice, mistreatment, and unfairness. Perhaps thoughts like, I've poured my life into this marriage, or these children, or this friendship, or this ministry, and I get treated like this? It's just not right. Do you have any thoughts of lust or greed? Is your mind filled with thoughts of illicit pleasures and experiences, things you know you shouldn't be indulging in and lusting for? Or is your mind filled with covetous thoughts? You look at what the world has to offer and you can't seem to stop thinking about some new fashion, gadget, house, or some other item you think you must have in order to be happy. Next, are there thoughts of guilt or shame in your mind? Anytime you entertain the kinds of thoughts I just mentioned, you will generate thoughts of guilt and shame, because God never intended you to think that way. He weighs our conscience down with disturbing burdens when we sin. In fact, the noise of a guilty conscience is the loudest noise you can have, and that is because the danger of being out of fellowship with God. Are there overwhelming thoughts of possessions and positions in your life? Our souls can get very noisy with the daily responsibilities of being a wife, a parent, an employee, and so forth. Our minds can be filled with thoughts of to-do lists and planning. Some of the noise might be from thoughts of always trying to be fashionable, getting the latest and greatest possessions, or maintaining the possessions we have, or simply trying to get it all done. Are there too many sounds of entertainment and recreation in your soul? These are thoughts of movies and TV programs, of music and news, of books, of vacations. In our connected age, we have the opportunity to fill our minds in distractions 24/7 at lightning speed over hundreds of channels and unlimited texts and posts. How many times have we come to the end of a strenuous day, and rather than spending some time reflecting upon what God wants us to do in our lives in that kind of day, we do something to escape the responsibility of our poor responses. We watch a movie, or spend a few hours on social media, or just sit and watch TV all evening. We have just succeeded in filling our minds with more noise. If we've had a difficult day, it would be better if we sat down quietly and asked, God, why is this such a difficult time? Did I handle things poorly? Is there anything I need to do differently? What are you trying to teach me? Jesus desires for us to handle the events of our days differently. Here is what Jesus told his disciples and us in John 14:27, just before he left this earth. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He's telling us that we won't get peace the same way the world tries to get it. The world tries to get peace by filling life with distractions, possessions, adventures, and people. They try all sorts of things to find happiness to dull the discomfort of their emptiness. But our Savior says, not as the world gives do I give to you. All these thought patterns, all this noise, is a sign of sinful responses. God-centered souls are not noisy. They are at peace. God-centered souls and the peace that focus brings is possible for His children. And His children are those individuals who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. They have turned to Him for salvation, accepting His work of dying on the cross as payment for their sins. So you need to ask yourself, is a noisy soul seeming to dominate or overwhelm you? Are you full of thoughts of fear, anger, covetousness, extreme focus on entertainment, social media, or other things along this line? If this is true of you, you need to determine if you have really and truly put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Lord. Do you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, or are you determined to live your life your way? We are living in uncertain times that are causing, at best, much uncertainty, and at worst, much fear for many people in our country. It is possible for you to have a heart at peace during the most difficult circumstances. Keep in mind the words of Christ that John recorded in his gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. If you haven't turned from your sin of unbelief and placed your full faith in Jesus Christ, today would be a great day to do that. Please take care of this most important decision before this day is over. If you haven't already done so, do not let any attitudes of pride, stubbornness, or rebellion keep you from this relationship. As we talked about at the beginning of this series of lessons, we know that Jesus delights in saving us. That has been emphasized in our study as we've considered various aspects of the nature of God. We have learned that He is a merciful God, wanting to rescue us from our miserable conditions. He is a loving God, wanting to give us what is in our best interest, even at great personal sacrifice to Himself. We should certainly understand that He loves us enough to die for us. And we are His children because He has called us to Himself. Let's look again at the passage from Matthew 7, where He personally calls to people to come to Him. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, and I'll begin reading at verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. This great invitation, extended to everyone, has a couple of parts. First, He asks us to come to Him and Him alone for salvation. And second, we are to receive instruction under discipline. Yet, in contrast to the teaching of the scribes, Jesus' yoke is easy. Through the ages, these verses have been among the most beloved and comforting in the New Testament. We can draw a couple of conclusions from this passage. First, any attempt to have peace and solve life's problems apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ will result in failure. Apart from Him, we will not find any peace of heart and peace of mind. He is clear that we cannot live lives filled with worldly matters while ignoring eternal matters. We must turn to Him for salvation, comfort, and guidance. Second, anything we turn to apart from Him in order to make life work is another Savior, a competing God. When we go through challenging times, we must not distract or fill our minds with entertainment, self-help books, or lean on other people for our solutions. The passage we just read in Matthew 11 is an invitation of a loving Lord to be a continual Savior to His children. He wants us to come to Him so that He can show His strength in our weakness. Because of His love for us, God is always there for us. We have only to turn to Him for wisdom, comfort, and guidance. Of course, He doesn't speak to us as a friend or family members do. He communicates to us through His Word. And His Word is where we need to turn for our spiritual nourishment and guidance. James tells us what our focus and attitude should be as we read our Bibles. Let's turn to James chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. This passage teaches us how we are to study God's Word. A person who looks intently into God's Word will spend time not only reading the Word, but will focus intently on it to be sure he understands it. Then he will consider the passage, meditate on it, and determine how it applies to his life. And then, most importantly, God's Word will allow that truth to guide how he thinks and acts. Meditation is not the quick overview of a short devotional. It is the purposeful, intentional search for the knowledge of God and His ways as we read His Word. One dictionary defines Christian meditation as the process of deliberately focusing on specific thoughts, such as a Bible passage, and reflecting on its meaning in the context of God. Another dictionary describes it as the act of giving your attention to only one thing or one serious thought. Gill has explained that to meditate is to mull something over and over in your mind. When we meditate, we read with the purpose of learning something from God so that we can do it. The best result of our reading is to become a doer of the Word. Because of all that is going on in the world and here in our country, there is one passage of Scripture, I'm sure, that is coming to mind for many of us. God tells us in His Word what to do when we find ourselves anxious or worried. Let's turn to Philippians 4, and I'm sure you knew that's where we were going next. Philippians 4, verse 6, and Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is a wonderful passage of comfort, reminding us that we need to turn to Christ when we find ourselves being anxious or fearful. But we also need to go on to the next verse. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence in anything, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." God commands us in this passage that we should think what we should think during these anxious times. But we have to meditate on this verse, mull it over in our minds to decide what we are going to think about instead of the noise of our worry. For example, what specific thing can you have in mind that you will think about that is true? Well, God's word is true. We can have full confidence that every single verse and word in the Bible came from the Lord. Also, in a very different area, we all have electricity and running water in our homes, and the price of gas is less than $2 per gallon today. These things are true, and they are also things to thank God for. What can you think of that is lovely? The description of the New Jerusalem, with its streets of gold and her brilliance, like that of a very costly stone from the book of Revelation, is more lovely than I can imagine. But it is wonderful to think that that is what God has in store for us. Also, I see and appreciate the lovely daffodils and tulips that are blooming. They are part of God's creation. I think you get the idea here. Discipline yourself to think different thoughts than those of anxiety and worry. We are commanded to obey God's word. The word of God is the only place we can find the truth about God, his will for us, and about how his world works. When our lives are full of noise, we have all kinds of distractions or disturbing and sinful thoughts going around in our heads. When that happens, we are living in a fantasy world made up of our own imaginations about what God is like and what he is doing. We sometimes believe a lie, or at best, we have a pessimistic perspective. The goal of our search of God's word is a change in attitude and action. Meditation may also require some additional time spent in God's word. This might include reading a specific passage multiple times, looking up the definition of words that may not be totally clear to us, looking up words in a concordance, and looking up other passages of scripture that address the same biblical principle. These additional steps can help us to understand the meaning of a specific passage and how it should impact how we think and act. When we have done these three steps, then we rarely forget that truth. We have seen the truth of it from God himself as he uses his word to communicate with us. The desirable result of these efforts would be obedience to God's word. So you might be wondering, well, how long should I be meditating on God's word, applying it to my life? Depending on the situation, you may need to read it multiple times over multiple days or even longer. You should notice change over time, though, a change in your thoughts, attitudes, and in your actions. One of the most important ways this change comes about is by regularly reading God's word. And in the busy and distracted world we live in, this requires us to commit to spending time in God's word each day. We must organize and structure our days to make this happen. But our culture scorns structure. This is one of the reasons it is falling apart. In contrast, Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Godliness is intentional, not accidental. Consider this metaphor. Software applications today come pre-programmed to default to certain settings. If you want the settings to come up differently, you have to override the default. Our human hearts do not come programmed by default for godliness. In fact, recall what Jeremiah writes about the human heart. In chapter 17, he writes, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" If we want to be godly, we must intentionally do something different from our natural settings. We don't just stumble into godliness. Paul is specific in his choice of words in 1 Timothy 4. The Greek word translated discipline here is gymnazo, and I had to look that one up in the dictionary, or look it up on the online. It is the Greek word from which we get the word gymnasium. The word indicates training and exertion. if we are going to get in shape spiritually, we must come to the gym and practice until we profit from the effort. We must train ourselves. We must learn and practice the disciplines. And we must structure our lives to make those disciplines a part of our daily routine. Reading a short devotional or just a few verses of scripture would be the warming up and stretching. Daily sitting still while reading and seriously thinking about what you have read and applying it to your life is how God communicates to you. Studying the Word and meditating upon it are the real exercise that produce spiritual growth. Jim Berg has some suggestions to help you with this type of discipline. If you aren't already doing this, these might be helpful. First, establish a regular time. Many Christians find that early morning is best, since their first thoughts can be of spiritual things. But you have to determine the best time of day for you, the best time that works for you. But the important thing is that you do it. Second, he suggests being alone. If possible, go into a quiet room away from the distractions of people and technology. Next, he says to have a pen and notebook ready. Proverbs 10:14 says, "Wise men store up knowledge." In your quiet time, he suggests that we include the following elements. Of course, the first should be Bible reading. Before you begin, ask God to show you something important for today. And follow a Bible reading schedule so that your reading is not haphazard. Perhaps jot down any verses or your immediate thoughts about what you've read. As you read, God will convict you of sin or show you His will in a particular situation. God uses His Word to communicate with us. Meditation. Mull over in your mind what you have read. Figure out what God is trying to tell you and make a plan to use His Word to change you, to help you grow spiritually. Then, prayer. Keep a personal prayer journal and have an organized plan for your time in prayer. The prayer items that a Bible teacher suggested years ago and one that I have liked for a long time includes, in this order, praise, thanksgiving, confession of sin, prayer requests for others, and finally prayer requests for myself. One point that Berg made that I think is especially true is the importance of having a time of praise in your prayer time. Without the times of praise and confession, our prayer life becomes a shallow give-me list. In addition to these daily times in the Word, fellowshipping with God, it's very important to regularly attend a Bible teaching church. As most of you already know, you will be blessed by the fellowship of other believers and the preaching of God's Word. This fellowship with other believers in your church body will be a source of wonderful encouragement. And you and they will also be blessed by praying for each other. These spiritual disciplines should become part of the routine in your life. Routine is crucial to anything productive, physically or spiritually. Most people with noisy, distracted souls have not established much of a productive routine in their lives. Routine in how you use your day can help you in several ways. First, Berg suggests having a specific morning routine. Get up at a prescribed time and begin your day having communication with God in your private devotions. Next, have a disciplined evening routine. Get to bed early enough to be refreshed and well rested when you come to God's Word in time of prayer. And of course, at the end of the week, make sure you have prepared yourself and your family to attend church. Getting yourself and small children ready for church on Sunday mornings can be challenging and can be a time of stress, another kind of noise in your soul. Do your planning and preparing on Saturday as much as you can so that Sunday morning won't be a hectic as you and your kids race around trying to find a missing shoe or someone's Bible. Berg also suggests having a ministry commitment. We are all to be serving each other, even if it is not our spiritual gift. Find a regular opportunity of ministry in your local church. Many ladies help with childcare in the nursery, cleaning, teaching children's Sunday school, working with middle school or high school youth, or participating in the music ministry, and the list goes on. Every local church has needs that need to be met by its members. Don't ever scorn routine. It is the flywheel, the conserving power behind anything productive. Sometimes people today look down their noses at routines and commitment because they can become mindless and meaningless. And that is certainly true. But the solution isn't to abandon good habits and practices. If you don't have a regular habit of reading God's Word or praying, just get started. Once you have Bible reading and praying as part of your routine, it will be much easier to keep up. It will become much more natural to make it a priority, even if your day doesn't unfold the way you had hoped it would. The solution is to engage your thinking on the activity, focusing on a time of worship and fellowship with God, and learning His will for your life. All of life must be lived in obedience to Jesus Christ as we learn what His will is for us. There is no spiritual growth without submitting to Jesus Christ. We are to study His Word in order to fellowship with Him and do what He says. In the Old Testament, God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Our stability lies in our obedience to what God says. We must not allow ourselves to be mere hearers of the word. We must be the doers. God has made amazing provisions for us through His grace, and He has given us His word for our understanding. We focused earlier in this series of studies on the love, goodness, and wisdom of God. And because of this love, goodness, and wisdom, we can have quiet souls. Even during times of uncertainty and hardship, we can have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time in Your Word, Lord, and I thank You for these ladies who are here in this room and who are watching online. Thank You that they have a desire to study Your Word, to learn Your will for their lives, and to grow spiritually. Lord, thank You for helping us to understand Your Word. You speak to us through Your Word very clearly, Lord, and we just thank You that we have our Bibles, that we live in a country where we can attend a Bible teaching church, and that we have our Bibles to read each day. Thank You that You communicate with us each day. Lord, and thank You for Your sovereignty. Thank You that You are in control of all that is going on in the world. There's nothing that is just happenstance. There is no one person to blame. Lord, it's just brought about by Your hand to bring about Your purposes. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to focus, Lord, on Your word, focus on what is true, lovely, and so forth. Help us not to be caught up in anxiety and worry about what the future holds. Lord, and help us to grow spiritually, to make You more of an even number one priority in our lives. Help us to, we commit these days to You, Lord. Help us to understand that Your will be accomplished and that You love us and are caring for us. Lord, we pray that You would watch over our country, watch over our city, watch over our church, watch over our members, for those who are ill, who are struggling with health issues, financial issues, job issues, Lord. I just pray for Your provision for them. Lord, we just ask these things in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.